It's the Pigskin Preview on Kickin' Country J98 The Boot. We are going to break down all of our area high school football teams ahead of Friday night. We are on to segment two of the Pigskin Preview. One half of your host set up. I'm Greg Armbruster, sports director at KREI and KTJJ, helping me get through the Pigskin Preview tonight. The newly hired KJFF sports director, but not new to us, Will Cheshire.
I'm familiar to the area. I'm getting there.
It's almost been a year, hasn't it? I mean, it's got to be close. What was it, like basketball season?
Yeah, basketball season, January, late January.
Talk about feet to the fire, brother.
I know, right? That first day. But no, I'm just more excited to keep going on the football and seeing all these guys out there. Crystal City going to be the next team that we're talking about. And, of course, head coach Terry Crump out there. And Crystal City, a lot of youth out there. Not a lot of older talent in terms of seniors. They're making a transition at quarterback. Logan Grove graduated. Chris Eisenbeiss, he's going to make the transition. He actually played on the line last year, and now he's going to be the quarterback, also a linebacker for them as well. And he looked sharp out there, and the one thing for them is really going to be that transition. And Coach Crump really spoke about how it's going to be a transition at that, and it'll take a little bit of time as well. But the Crystal City team trending in the right direction.
In what could be the worst form of deja vu for Crystal City is that football field. 2 years in a row getting flooded out. Last year, they go an entire schedule without being able to play an actual home game. You've had your finger on Crystal City for a while. Are they going to play at home this year?
Right now, it's looking like week three. I actually stopped by the stadium. I checked it out. The new turf is down. It looks great. Coach Crump actually said last week that today was their hope to get out there for their first practice. So we'll see if they had that opportunity to go out there today. But they did move their week one game back in the spring against Chaffee. It was initially going to be at home, but because they weren't sure about the field, they moved that to Awaken. But it's just so tough to be out there on a baseball field to play. And Coach Crump really described it best. It's just real difficult to get footing out there with the thick grass and the yard markers as well. It's not an easy task.
No, absolutely not. You know, last year, Crystal City, in the final game of the year, had what would have been their starting running back playing left guard. And a lot of that injury plague comes from practicing on that ball field. So definitely not a good time. And let's hear Coach Crump's thoughts on that practice field. He'll talk a little bit more in depth on the challenges of not having yard markers, essentially.
It's really hard. The running game can still be the running game. It's the passing game. You just can't get any consistency with it because the lines are different. You know, the routes, the kids run the routes different. It's just they may run a route they're supposed to cut at 7 yards. This play they might cut at 5. Next play they might cut it at 9. It's just really hard to read on a baseball field. So it's really hard to get timing that way. And that's the biggest factor out here on the baseball field.
You know, one thing that I love to talk about with Coach Crump is there are certain things that you can ask him and he'll flat out tell you, and you know it's not a coach speak or anything like that. Again, media, we are against that coach speak. Tell us the truth. Anyway, for Coach Crump, we asked him a question of how do you approach the season? What are your thoughts? Well, what would be a good year?
We try to take it 1 week at a time. We're a small school, and we do try to make it 1 week at a time. But our focus is the most important game of the year is game 10. If we win one game all year, we want to win game 10, and then we want to win game 11, you know, move on like that way. But really, I preach to them all the time. It's a long process, and we're building towards game 10.
And Coach Crump there talking about actually looking forward to playing in week 10, you know, that's their goal. Of course, everybody wants to have that goal to get into the playoffs as a higher seed. For Crystal City, after having 9 straight away games, starting the season with 3, it'd be a tough task for them to get there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But the one thing that Coach Crump emphasized in that clip that we just heard, it is all about week 10. It definitely, you have your benefits. You put together a great regular season. You go into districts. You have the better seating and everything, and matchups play in your favor. But for a young team like Crystal City, that's really going to take some time to gain that experience. We talk about Eisenbeiss at quarterback. He's learning it. He's going to have a little bit of his ups and downs naturally from that position the first time for the first couple of games. So if they really excel and keep going, they might be playing their best football at week 10, and you never know, they might be able to surprise some people come crunch time.
You never know. You're absolutely right. Year after year, it's basically brand new teams at every high school program, and that will remain true for Crystal City as well. They'll be back in Class 1, District 1, along with perennial powerhouse Valley Catholic. That one's looking a little bit different. They've removed Mark Twain, Barrow Academy, Monroe City, Louisiana, all out of Class 1, District 1. It now looks like Chaffee, Crystal City, Haytot, Portageville, Scott City, St. Vincent, and Valley Catholic making up Class 1, District 1 now. And let's transition. We'll stay north for the next one, and we're going to talk about a team that went 1-9 a year ago, and the coach that led them no longer a part of that program, and now new first-year coach will grab the reins for Grandview in their 1-9 season. How was it with Coach DeMatteis?
I'm a fan of Coach DeMatteis. He's very well-spoken, and he's very excited. The one vibe I got from him, he comes from St. Mary's. He was the coach there for three seasons, and he spent all his life there. He went to school there, and he went off to play college ball, and then he came back at just 1 year at 19, and he started his coaching career there. So this is a big change for him, and one of his assistant coaches he has with him actually was his coach at St. Mary's. So he brings quite an experienced and solid staff to Grandview, and he's really trying to get those kids to buy into the program. Not a lot of familiarity with that team. They're not even entirely certain who that quarterback's going to be at this point in time. They do run the option, so they kind of have that luxury of being able to move back and forth a couple. They do get a couple of guys back as well. But for Grandview, they've struggled. They haven't had a winning season in 10-plus years. And as Coach DeMatteis said, his plan, bring back that fan base. That's a community that loves football. They want to see a winner. And he's real excited to get them going on the Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride for him. I can't imagine coming from St. Mary's to Grandview, the difference. I'm not all that familiar, but did you gauge any of that with DeMatteis about the difference from St. Mary's to Grandview, just football-wise?
The biggest thing really wasn't so much on the football X's and O's side. I mean, you can change over. You can bring over your offense. You can make the adjustments and everything. The big thing was the small town feel. He kind of speaks about that. And Grandview may not classify quite as the small town feel, but that's the one thing that he liked, is having a full community back it. Because when you're in the St. Mary's or you're at a city like that, you know, you're a lot closer to the St. Louis Cardinals, professional sports team, SLU. And so you don't have that same backing necessarily for those high school programs. And that was one thing that he was really excited about. And another thing he really thought was character building for that team.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very well-spoken guy. So open up the ears and get your popcorn ready for Coach DeMatteis.
Really, the bottom line is we just have to work hard. We have to make sure that character is A number one across the board, and we have to make sure that we continue to buy into that philosophy. We have to focus on Grandview football. We have to focus on our team. We have to focus on what we're doing and what we have the power to control, which means we don't need to worry about what other people are saying, what other people think of us. We don't need to worry about officials. We don't need to worry about, you know, the casual fan and opinions, because this is going to develop over the course of the year.
And one thing, just in brief conversations with Coach DeMatteis, you can tell he's passionate about the game, and that passion, he wants that to translate.
You know, I finally think I discovered what I love most about this team and what I love most about this group of young men. And it's real simple, and I told them yesterday after practice, and it was, you know, you guys are fortunate. You're the lucky ones, because you're here and you're playing football, and that makes all of us coaches jealous. That's why we do it. But two, you know, it's football. It is a dying game, and not everybody's making a decision these days to play football. And the fact that those kids are out there, you know, our numbers are not through the roof by any means. But we have a very good, hardworking group of young men that are ready and willing to represent their school. And I'm so incredibly proud of them and what they've accomplished so far. And I know this, that they're going to fight for the Grandview Eagles through and through in that community. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen here.
And we'll find out just about the fight that Coach DeMatteis has instilled in this 2016 Grandview squad Friday night. They'll be at Scott City.
Scott City is an interesting team offensively, as far insofar as they like running a lot of different stuff. I don't know that they necessarily run too many different plays out of these different sets, but they're going to get themselves in a lot of different sets and try to move your defense around quite a bit. And, you know, it's going to be our cat and mouse game to try to not be manipulated and to keep our kids in a good spot to make plays. Defensively, you know, they got a lot of guys. I think their philosophy is similar to ours. They got a lot of guys standing up, very few hands on the ground, and they like to sprint the ball. And, you know, we're going to have to just use our option attack to get after that the best we can. They do kind of move guys and shade one side of the field to the other. You know, we'll watch more tape to figure out what we like or don't like of that. So, you know, they got some special teams that are they're a little different as far as alignments are concerned. I think they're very sound, but there are things that we'll have to put a little extra time in to make sure our blocking schemes in the return game are down and our blocking schemes in the kicking game, especially the punt game, are solid. So they look like a really good football team. The teams that they were playing on tape look very solid as well. So it's going to be a very good challenge for us.
And he's just one of those guys that I feel like when you listen to him and you hear what he's saying, you just believe it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the type of message that he's given to his players as well. And they're really buying into that program. It definitely needs some rebuilding. There's no doubt about that, the Grandview, in terms of numbers and things like that.
Needs some hype.
Yeah, you need some hype, and that's one thing he's trying to return, and that's what Coach DeMatteis was telling me. It was all about trying to get those numbers, and they still weren't 100% sure last week what that full roster was going to be, and they were still looking to get more players as school started up again to get it. But that's a program, and I think they got the right guy for it to build that back up. He's very positive. He's all about the kids. He's not necessarily wins-loss. This is bad if you win-lose. No, and to build a program, I think you can't have that mindset. I think you need to care about your kids, care about the younger levels, and care about their character and execution. I think that's what breeds winners.
It does sound like a recipe for the start of some success for Grandview. Their road to the postseason is going to look a little bit different this year than it did last, as this starts the two-year cycle this year. They move to Class 2 District 1, coming from Class 2 District 2. So Class 2 District 1 will have Grandview, and now the addition of Jefferson as well, St. Pius, East Prairie, Charleston, Caruthersville, Kelly. Very interesting Class 2 District 1 setup. So let's keep moving right along. We're going to stay on the northern end as we work our way around all of our area football teams. And our next team has 70 years of high school football under their belt coming into this season. We'll find out who that is next. It's the Pigskin Preview on the Boot Segway.
Rick's Pawn in Piedmont wants you to know that the MDC now allows crossbows as a legal method during the archery, deer, and turkey seasons. Rick at Rick's Pawn in Piedmont has been selling and servicing crossbows now for over 20 years. And you'll always find an awesome selection of guns, archery items, and bows. So be prepared this hunting season by making the quick trip to Rick's Pawn. That's Rick's Pawn on Main Street in Piedmont.
The time has never been better than right now during the Polaris factory authorized clearance only at Serdike Motorsports. Hi, Matt Serdike from Serdike Motorsports. Whether you're out with the family or getting the work done, we have the best deal on the Polaris Ranger or Polaris Razor that you need. And at Serdike Motorsports, we're doubling the factory rebates on new ATVs and side-by-sides. It's the double the factory authorized clearance sale only at Serdike Motorsports in Chesterfield Valley and Serdike Motorsports in Festus.
We're family run for family fun.
It's amazing what they can do with hips these days. I've struggled with hip pain for a while now, but soon I'll be getting back to the things that matter, like picking up grandkids and doing all the things that are too valuable to let my age get in the way. But after I get my new hip, I need to recover somewhere. But there are so many options, I need help figuring out what's best for me.
Life can be complicated when making healthcare decisions. Let Kindred help. Call 1-866-KINDRED and a registered nurse can walk you through care options and the locations that best fit your needs. Whether it's in one of our Kindred locations or even in your own home. We're available 24 hours a day and can help explain insurance, Medicare, or answer any other questions you may have. No question is too big or too small. Helping you and your family is just one more way that Kindred continues the care.
The following is a message from the Bud Light Party. The Bud Light Party's tackling the issues that other candidates won't dare touch, like small plates. They say they're for sharing. But how can you share if there's less food? Are 8 plates enough for 3 people? Can't we share one big plate? The Bud Light Party supports sharing. Just do it before our plates get any smaller. This message approved by the Bud Light Party. Raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
If you're in business, you know that finding time to keep your books is not always easy. Let Crouch, Farley & Hiring, certified public accountants of Farmington and Bonterre, make it easy for you. For over 3 decades, they've been specializing in financial advice, personal and corporate income tax preparation, payroll and sales tax preparation, bookkeeping, and audits. Watch your business grow and develop without worrying about the accounting. That's Crouch, Farley & Hiring, CPAs of Farmington and Bonterre at 756-8961 or 358-1070.
Back with a Pigskin preview on J98 The Boot, breaking down all of our area high school football teams ahead of Friday night. I'd say we're about a third of the way in, but we've got quite a bit to get to. And right before we went to break, I told you our next team, 70 years of high school football. This will mark the 70th season of Herculaneum Black Cat football. Now get started at home against Confluence Prep. 70 years of high school football, though. That's fantastic.
That's remarkable. It's crazy to even think about 70 years of high school football in one area as well, one program growing. That's a lot of history. I'd love to see their history book, their record book.
Oh, I couldn't imagine the tradition of names that have gone through there. But one of those guys that did go through that program was the head coach, David Cook. And Herculaneum looking at a 4-7 record in their history books from a year ago. But man, a tough offseason for Herculaneum, and I just don't even know how you handle a situation during the offseason, the passing of Austin Ray at just 17 years of age, and having to not only, I couldn't imagine being a parent, I mean, it makes you nauseous to even think about, but having to, as a football coach, sit down and tell a group of 16, 17, 8-year-old kids and try to walk them through that, I mean, it's just something you really can't fathom.
Oh, and it's tragic that it happens and things like that, and it's very hard to comprehend and think about, like you said, but, you know, you don't want to – it's not a positive situation by any means, but you kind of do your best to put a positive spin on it, and you remember the positive times that he gave to you, and you take what you learned from him and his positive mindset that he had, and you can help apply that to not just on the football field but in life in general, and I think the players really spoke about that as well as the coach.
And, you know, I had talked to Coach Cook a few times during the offseason through camp over the telephone and just talking to him and asking him about the team and this concept. He can get you so fired up for week one and just tear your heart out all at the same second. It was a very difficult conversation. Here's David Cook on the loss of Austin Ray.
You know, to lose a young man who, you know, maybe wasn't the best athlete, maybe wasn't the most talented, but just a tremendous young man of high integrity and high character and a polite, you know, nice, clean, loved his teammates, loved his school, loved his community. You know, he was an example of what we want our kids to be. And we would say it time and time again in our coaching staff meetings after practices and so forth. We would always talk about him if we could just take his heart and put that heart that he had into the other players that we had on our team, what kind of team would we be? And it's been a difficult, hard thing to lose Austin. You know, to think that this is, you know, the last conversation I had with him, it was the last conversation I'll have with him. You know, we're doing everything we can to keep his memory alive and let his family know that we're not going to forget him and that we love him and miss him and hope that, you know, hope that that wound is somewhat eased with knowing that he impacted so many of us.
And, you know, I wish I would have pulled the soundbite from our training camp video, but LJ Nelson, I talked to him on our training camp report, and just from talking to him early on, you could tell he was nervous. When I brought up this situation with Austin Ray, completely changed. And it just, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely something you have to check out. But, Will, you mentioned about kind of you have to spin it in a certain scenario or a certain way if you're a head coach. And it's really brought out the light of cherish every Friday night.
Well, and, you know, the guys have matured. You know, that's what we hope to see by the time you hit your senior year, that you've matured a little bit and you understand that this game is coming to a close for you. You know, a very small percentage have the opportunity to move on. You know, there was an NCAA survey a couple years ago. Less than 3% of all high school athletes are going to go play college athletics at the Division I, Division II level. And we're talking track, soccer, baseball, every sport. So when you come to the realization that, you know, when this high school football season ends, that's it for the majority of our guys. That's it. It's over. And I think by the time they hit their senior year, they start to realize that.
And just talking to a couple of the seniors during the training camp for Herky, they're buying in all across the board. And when you ask them what's the catalyst, what's the motivating factor, it comes back to Austin Ray. And when you have this kind of a situation, there's really no right way to address it. There's no simple way to address it. But one thing that they did want to simplify for Herculaneum was after a 4-7 record a year ago, a couple of guys having to transition into spots that they didn't know if it was really their position. This year, Herky, and back to the basics.
I mean, you know, I'm a graduate of the school. I've got, you know, several coaches here that came out of our high school that played here, and you know, guys that have been around Herky football a long time, and we don't intend to teach it any other way. You know, we may do things that look different, but, you know, make no mistake, we want to run the football. We want to tackle, we want to hit, and we want to block effectively. So those are the things we're teaching. That's the stuff we're working on, a lot of basics, fundamentals this summer, and you know, the guys are picking up the schemes really well.
And the Black Hats, one of the very, very many teams affected by the realignments. They're going to stay into Class 2, District 2, where they were a year ago. A couple of changes. Jefferson leaves that conference. It looks like Trinity Catholic, Transportation and Law, Sumner, Lutheran North, Herculaneum, Cleveland, NJROTC, Carnahan, and then the top dog from a year ago remains in Class 2, District 2 in Cardinal Ritter. And Will, our training camp videos, we've spent our entire life for the past 2 months doing this, have we not?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, a lot of video editing going on, and fortunately, we're gearing up for the release of the final half of the video. It's going to be coming your way tomorrow and Friday to get you all hyped up and ready for your football game, your team's game.
Are you going to tweet those?
Oh, absolutely.
What's your Twitter?
KJF Sports. That's at KJFF Sports for all things Jefferson County. My Mo Info Sports.
That's me.
That's you. A capital M. M's all around. And then the capital Sports and the capital I. That's the Twitter. Be sure to tune into those. We'll be all over it so you can get that training camp reports. And if you haven't seen your teams up yet, it's still on its way. And if you haven't checked it out, go on to MyMoInfo.com. Football training camps tab under the local sports, and it is all in order. Go ahead and give us a subscribe on the YouTube page as well, so you can get notifications when they go up.
Oh, such a shameless plug. I feel like we should take a break, but we won't. It's the Pigskin Preview on J98 The Boot. I am one half of your host this evening. I am the sports director at KTJJ KREI, Greg Armbruster. That's me across the way, the man just talking to you. That's our KJFF sports director, Will Cheshire. And one of the schools that really put themselves out in the forefront and looks poised to maybe take it a step further, the Jefferson Blue Jays coming into the season, really feeling good about year number two under Coach Alex Rugley. And we went out there bright and early, and I'm talking bright and early before the sun was up. That's the Coach Rugley kind of style. But pretty interesting outlook for Jefferson football.
Really an interesting outlook. They're coming off the best season in their short history. Of course, they just got established in 2012. And, you know, the crazy thing is they've never really been bad is the thing. And then not to say that you should expect them to be bad, but when you're a new high school and a new program and you're just introducing varsity sports when you're using just juniors as your oldest, then, yeah, you kind of expect some bumps to go up. But they started that year 5-5, went 6-4, went 4-6, then broke out, went 8-4 last year. So that's an exciting team, and a lot of that has to do with the culture.
Hey, Coach Rugley, tell us about that culture change.
Yeah, we've tried to incorporate a culture change last year and bring in more of a mentality that a blue-collar mentality to these kids that we're going to go to work every day and get better every day and to continue to take those steps forward every day. And they've grasped onto that, and they've done an exceptional job in grasping onto that. And I can't say enough about them, how much effort they've been putting into practice in the weight room. We've had a great offseason, and that's the culture we're trying to build around here. And we think that we're building it, and we're going to continue to build it from years to come.
And even Coach Rugley, when we asked him about the turnaround of the program, he said flat out, I didn't expect it to be year one, not even year two, maybe three or four, but things went very well early on, and maybe a perfect storm for some success.
We have a great group of kids, and you know, personnel wise we've got a 1500 yard rusher back. We've got a University of Arkansas recruit there at left tackle. We have another all-state lineman. Yes, we are missing Austin Graves this year, who's been our quarterback for Jefferson for 4 years, you know, but we feel confident in the three kids that were, or four kids that were repping out at quarterback now, and feel that they can do that job. You know, we had a great group of seniors last year, but we feel extremely confident with the group that we have, the 35 kids that we have out right now, and you know, I think that they're excited about the upcoming football season.
Excitement might be a little bit of an understatement for that. Not only the team, but that community, they really get behind this. And it's still got a brand new feel. And when you have something brand new and it works out that well, I think you're going to have some pretty good hype around it. And speaking of hype, that big old flat belly they got out there in Shane Clinton, he's about 3.5 of me. So you had him on Sports Talk on KJF. What did he have to say about this year?
Oh, he was just really excited to get out there. You know, we touched base on a lot of things, his recruitment process, and, you know, talked to some hobbies and things like that. But Jefferson County, he's really excited about his team this year. He thinks that they have an opportunity to take another step forward in a positive direction. He's trying to take a little bit more of a leadership role this year, and you'd expect that from him. He's a very well-spoken kid, a very confident kid. One player that he really talked about this year is going to be standing next to him on the offensive line, and that's Dakota Jakubak, and he's going to be filling in and jumping
that
in.
Pronunciation, by the way.
He's coming in, and Clinton really believes that he's going to have the opportunity to step up and really take the reins, and that was something that he really wanted to pass on the Jefferson football program and say, we got this young kid. He's very talented as well. I want to make sure I impart my wisdom onto him and teach him everything I have, because he's definitely got the skill set for it. But Jefferson Blue Jays and that attitude, Coach Rugley's really got that mindset going. And then with football, it really is a mindset.
And they have a pretty solid running back coming back this year in Graves. And they lose one Graves. They still have one Graves. It's the younger brother sticking around, and that was one thing that when we talked to Shane, that he was excited to block for him. And it's an interesting concept, and when we do all of this, a lot of it falls to the cutting room floor, but one of my favorite things that happened throughout all of our training camps was asking Clinton the question, what's better, a pancake or a sack? And it was not a hesitation. He said, when you can grab somebody and drive them into the turf, that was one of my favorite things for the entire season. So definitely a good feel around the Jefferson program. And when you have a guy like Coach Rugley, who is all about that weight room, coming from Hillsboro, and that weight room was on point, he's brought that same philosophy over to Jefferson, and it's equated to strength in the trenches.
I would think that our strength on offense and defense will be our offensive and defensive lines. Coach Atlee's done a phenomenal job with those young men. They've had a great offseason in the weight room. Their strength is off the charts, better than we were this time last year. And I believe that that's where our strength is. And I, as a football guy, and you know, coming from Hillsboro, and that was where our philosophy was at too, I love it. I love that our strength is in the trenches, and we're extremely excited about it.
You hear all of that from Coach Rugley. You hear about they've got the pieces in place. They've got two all-state linemen. And what was their demise at the end of last season was Cardinal Ritter. That was the team that got them in the district championship. Cardinal Ritter's in Class 2, District 2. Jefferson is no longer in Class 2, District 2. They've been realigned to Class 2, District 1. And the group with Caruthersville, Charleston, East Prairie, Grandview, Kelly, Malden, and our next school, the St. Pius Lancers. As we transition on down, this team, the St. Pius Lancers, will be on AM 1400 KJF to begin the season Friday night, as they'll be hosting the Windsor Owls. And for St. Pius, a little bit of a tumultuous offseason. They've got upgrades around the facility, and we want to talk just a little bit about specifically one of those upgrades, talking with the head coach at St. Pius, Jerry Woods, about their offseason.
For all those coaches that have came our way for our home games, you know, our press box has been pretty small. When they built it years ago, it wasn't the biggest press box. So we're in the process of fixing up a new press box, waiting on the windows to come in. They're still not here yet. So hopefully we have the press box ready for week one. And that press box is going to be named after Tommy Serdike. We're also going to fly the flag at half staff on the home games. We put all our decals on our helmets Wednesday night. The coaches did it. And then Thursday, yesterday, Father Nemeth talked to all the boys about the number 60 sticker that went on the back of their helmets and what Tommy meant as a person to St. Pius and the community at large. So those are some of the things that we're doing.
And a tremendous honor, really, as well, Tom Serdike, of course, to name that press box after him and to do all those things. Another thing is the flag will be half-staff as well at some of the home games. And, of course, Serdike went to St. Pius. He played football on that team. He was there, part of that team. And, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to a couple of the guys, including Tom Arriaga, who's one of just two seniors on the St. Pius football team. But Arriaga had nothing but positive things to say. I mean, he's the type of kid that if you met him, he was bringing a smile to your face. And just kind of when you're in a bad mood or you're in an okay mood, next thing you know, you are smiling. You're going, why am I smiling right now? You know, oh, how did that happen? And it's because that's the type of presence that Tom had in that community. So they're playing for him this year as well. And another guy that's coming in, Luke Lampros. He's going to be the quarterback. He's transferring from West St. Louis Marat Academy. He's going to be the new guy there. He's a senior, so he is the other senior on that team. So you got one of two seniors, but just one of those seniors actually has been there for a long time. But Luke Lampros was the type of guy who said that as soon as he got there, that really what brought him in, the brotherhood, and he was well accepted. And he also has a lot of skills.
A great young man, very personable. It's a yes sir, no sir kind of guy. I played quarterback up at Bear Academy last year, lived in the Chesterfield area. You know, he came down very smart, learned the offense, is a true leader, and we're excited about having him on board.
You know, I got to watch St. Pius in the latter half of the season last season, and injury plagued just a little bit early on. They started to get healthy in the back half, and you saw glimpses of, man, this team could really take off if they can just stay healthy. Another thing that really hurt them last year was they had so many guys playing offense and defense, so many two-way players, that they were just gassed and giving up so many points. And Coach Woods, it sounds like defense has been on the forefront of camp.
Well, our defense, we started off really shaky last year in our defense. And, you know, we had, due to some injuries, we had a lot of young kids playing. So our whole thing this summer has been defense, 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 swarm to the ball.